We're very thankful this afternoon to have each and every person on the call. We appreciate you being on the call, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We want you to know you are very honored, distinguished guest of the audience. And we pray you got your Bible, you open study with us this afternoon for a few minutes. We believe that Jesus hung, bled, died, shed blood, and washed your sins away in baptism. The same blood purchases church, which you can become a member of by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then to those who may be joining us from other congregations of the Churches of Christ, we welcome you to our study this afternoon as we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Appreciate those who went before me, a song leader, and those who are serving in the services via conference call or our afternoon services. It's good to see those who are in the morning service. And if you're out traveling somewhere, you're still remaining faithful to the worship services of our Lord. We commend you on that. Now, this evening, this afternoon, rather, we're going to complete the study of Ephesians. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been an interesting study for me. One of the books that I had not done and completely studied in the New Testament and preached from. So now I've completed that series of sermons. And today, Strong in the Lord, Part 2. Strong in the Lord. We talked about that last week, importance of being strong in the Lord. It's in verse 10, what we pick up this week. Well, Paul says, finally, my brethren. So he's acknowledging this is the final comments that he's getting ready to make after making so many different teachings of spiritual blessings. He talked about in chapter 1, the mystery of his will. In chapter 2, being dead in trespasses and sins. In chapter 2, being in Christ. In chapter 2, the fellowship of the mystery. We learned that the fellowship of misery, the gospel, they were bringing Jews and Gentiles into one church. Talk about how he bowed his knees before God. Chapter 4, we looked at how we had to walk worthy of the vocation. And then chapter 5, we looked at being followers of God. And then we looked in chapter 6, what it is to be strong in the Lord. So here it is. He said, I'm wrapping this lesson up. This is an epistle written to the Church of Christ in Ephesus. He said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. So he's talking to Christians and in the power of his might. Being strong, conjunction with how to be strong in the power of his might. So I'll be telling people, be strong in the Lord. But he's emphasizing that being strong in the Lord is dependent on the power of his might. He comes with final admonition to tell them. He's preparing to let them know that they're getting ready to go into, as a Christian, and we should know this, that we are engaged in a fearful warfare. And that's something we need to understand, that we have to be equipped to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. We use the powerful resources that God himself gives us. That's why he said, in the power of his might. So we use armor, we use weapons, which means we are fully equipped if we be strong in the power of his might. In verse number 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Now he's talking about, now he starts to describe how you remain strong. So in the end of this lesson, my brothers and sisters, we need to understand if you're weak in the Lord, it's because you're not using, you're fully equipping yourself in the power of his might. It's God, like we did with Daniel this morning. It was God who did delivering and the rescuing. So we have to do things in order to win the battle against Satan in the power of the might of God. By doing the thing God tells us to do and being able to deal with life, deal with sinful situations, deal with things that are evil by putting on the whole armor of God. And he said, prep yourself, armor up. Here's why. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, you do it because you have to deal with the devil. And we understand, and I hit that pretty hard this morning. And I'm hitting it again. The devil, brothers and sisters, don't want us to be saved. And you know, we got to deal with the devil in the world. But you got to understand this. The devil knows, as we believe, that the Christians are in the Church of Christ. He's going to have to attack us He got to. He's coming at us. And so Paul is telling these Ephesian Christians, you better armor up, or you won't be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of this guy, I always describe the word wiles as like the cheese on the trap for the rat. You put the cheese on the trap, hoping you stick your head in there, and it snaps it. The devil is not our friend. He's an enemy. Also, here's what, you got the armor up, because you won't be able to stand against this guy without this particular armor. He said, here's your fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So your fight is not with Brother Brooks, of what I teach or what I'm doing. Your fight is not against me. If we're teaching the truth, the fight is not against us. It's not against a man, a woman, but it's against, he said, principalities, against powers, against the rulers. Notice they got an XS on it, of darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of what he just described, do you take on to you the whole or every piece is needed? Don't miss this point. To be strong in the Lord is to have every piece of armor on at all times, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, to have done all to stand. So there is a day coming when the devil will come at you, just as he did with the story of Job. There's coming a day. Things were going good with Job. And the Satan approached God. Job chapter, he approached God. And God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? He said, no, you haven't heard Job. So Job was fully armored. But then God granted permission to the devil to bring that evil day upon Job, where he lost his children and everything over there. But Job was equipped. He'd done all the standing. Yesterday. Now, as Christians, we have to put on this armor. Now, notice the terminology you use, that we may be able to stand against, that we may be able to withstand, to stand and take what comes with it, to stand against wrong, and then to withstand the wrong when it comes our way. So you got to stand. You got to take a push like a soldier. When he's put on the, many men may be on the call, being ex-military, when they put you on your post, you got to stand there and deal with whatever comes. And you have to stand against the pressures of what's coming. And you withstand it when it's shot at you. Now, so the armor here, the description of armor comes from the idea of an ancient soldier. The Roman soldiers were equipped for war. They were not equipped to go into the war until they had put all their armor on in its proper places. Paul was at prison at the time, probably near camp in Rome, but he had to see these soldiers all charged up and had their weapons on. And so this is a figure he used to kind of tell us that we have to have this because this devil has a great army. And God has designed the power was in his might. And he said, the wrestle, the head fight, is not against the flesh and blood. No. The real enemies of the Christian is evil spiritual powers. It's an evil realm. And we cannot underestimate. You can't play with the devil. No, you can't play with it. You got to take him serious. He's powerful. And these terms like principalities and powers, terms that designate different ranks of evil spirits, they were angels. They were spiritual. Devil is an angel was kicked out. And they're here with us. And so we got to deal with this guy. We got to deal with the angel. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, 4, and verse 21, he said, for above all principalities, power and might and dominion, every name that is named not on this world, but also in the world come. So Jesus, for above all these principalities, we do everything and we gird up our Lord and we put on everything God gives us That's our best chance of success against the rulers of darkness. Satan is described in the Bible as the ruler of this world in John chapter 12 and verse 31. Now, this is the judgment Jesus says of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. He's called the prince of the world. In John 14, 30, Jesus again, he said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and nothing in me. In John 16 and verse 11, of judgment because of the prince of the world is judged. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, and verse 3 says, by gospel be hid and hid to give the lost of whom. Verse 4, the God, notice this, little g God, notice who he's God of this world, had blinded the mind. So he's the God of this world. He uses his dominion among evil spirits. He used wicked men who are his children. That's what Jesus told him, you are of your father, the devil. So here he is. He's going to use evil people, people who are wicked, wickedness in high places. These are people who are going to do it. Like I was saying, I think a week or so ago, you know, all this stuff that's going on in the world, it's not all mental illness. Much of it is evil, evil influences, evil people, people doing wicked things, sinful things. And it's in darkness. It's in the realm of darkness rather than the realm of light. God is light. And in the realm of darkness will be all these satanic evil responses by people who will be led by the power of them. Even in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, he says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing, notice it, spirits, seducing spirits with an S, and doctrines with an S on it, of devils with an S on it, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having a conscience seared with a hard iron, forbidding to marry, command to abstain from meat, which God has created to receive thee with thanksgiving. This is where we look at false doctrine across the world, meaning that are being led by these seductive spirits and doctrines of devils. So this lesson is even not so much about them as about how do the Christian stay strong in the Lord. The only way, brothers, if you don't leave nothing else, you cannot win this warfare with the devil. You can't be considered strong in the Lord unless you are equipped in the power of his might. Spiritual wickedness, he says, in high places. Paul said in Ephesians 2, the word in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now working in the children of disobedience. See that? So when we look at the power of this, when we call people worldly, when we say that person is worldly, that means they're being guided by a worldly influence, which is the little g god, and ain't nobody other than the devil himself and his angels. But Peter warned in 1 Peter 5, 8, the Christians there, he said, be sober, and Peter did a good job being sober, living soberly righteousness in this present world last week. But Peter come back and said, look here, be sober. Use your mind the right way. Be mindful of your situation and what you're up against. Be vigilant. You got to be vigilant or diligent because your adversary, that adversary means enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, Peter says. He describes him as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith. How you going to resist him? What's steadfast in the faith? Remaining faithful to God and following the power of his might. Being equipped the way God tells you to be equipped. We did a job this morning on what it is to be faithful. And all the people that's going to help are those who really want to examine themselves to see, am I faithful? If not, the devil is winning in your life. Just remember that. You got to be able to examine yourself and say, man, I got to step up. I got to be more faithful. You know, because you're not properly armed to win this war against Satan So he said, "Be resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction accomplished in your brethren in the world." So Paul says back to Ephesians, "Wherefore take unto you, because of the description of the enemy, because of the description of Satan himself and what he's trying to do. He's trying to devour. He's like a roaring lion." He called him, Paul said, "This God is wicked. He's powerful. He's a ruler. He's against spiritual wickedness in high places." Then he said, "Wherefore, because I just told you what the fight is, who the fight is with." Verse 13, "You better arm up and be able to stand when this guy come at you." He's coming. He's coming. He's coming after you. He's coming after me. No one is exempt. Don't think you're going to get away. They're going to get after Brother Brooks. He ain't coming after you. He's coming after every one of us who's trying to get to heaven. Is that you? Are you trying to get to heaven to see? If you are, this afternoon, listen carefully. You better be arming up with what Paul is getting ready to tell us. To stand again, to be victorious, to hear God say, "Well done." In verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins." Now, do you understand what we're dealing with? He started talking about how to prepare, how to equip yourself. Number one, stand therefore, having your loins, the waist area, girded about with truth. Stand. The soldiers, the armor had to be worn in the proper places. The Roman soldier wore a girdle. They wore around the waist. They had a breastplate on the chest. Shoes had iron nails. A helmet to protect the head. And they carried a shield on the left arm, which threw in front of them to fight off the weapons or the darts or the swords that were going to be shot at them by the enemy. But his weapon to fight back was a sword. It was with this sword that they would win the war. With the sword. And so be it that the Christians, those of us who are armored up, and if you're armored up, then you're okay. But if you're not armored up, you're missing out on the power of his might. So the girl kept the armor in place and supported the sword that was on his side. So truth, when you know the truth holds the Christian armor and supports the sword of the Spirit. In other words, the Word of God is the sword. And truth must be kept to hold the sword, to support the sword of the Spirit. Because Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth makes you." See, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." If you leave the truth, none of this other stuff works. So first thing, you got to be obedient to the truth. Now, for those who are visiting with us, you're not ready if you have not obeyed the truth. True doctrine, to become a true worshiper by being obedient to the will of God, by being baptized for the remission of sin, that the Lord may add you to the one church, the Church of Christ. You're not ready for the fight against the devil. You haven't even accepted that the Bible is true. Now, when the first thing you got to do is accept the Bible. If you're taking notes, if you're going to win the war against the devil, if you can say, "I'm standing strong in the Lord," you've got to believe everything in that book is right. Not some of it, not a little bit of it, but all of it. Number two, you got to put this breastplate, and the breastplate went over the lungs and the chest area, the heart, vital organs. Christ's righteousness is over our hearts. We have to live right. The vital organs, if he hit us in the heart, in the lungs, those are vital organs that can cause you to die. But if you live it right, you have your breastplate on. Now, how do you live right, Brother Brooks? By following, as we talked about this morning, being faithful to your Lord, doing what your Lord teach you to do, teaching, being taught from the Word of God how to live. And the Holy Spirit has given us the instructions how to be like Christ. He said, "Let this mind be used also in Christ Jesus." It's righteousness by living right. That's what Brother Shaw talked about last week. Being living soberly, righteously in this present world. There is a righteous living required to win against the devil. And then on your feet, he said, okay, that on your feet shod, not with shoes, but with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. this preparation. We have to be prepared. But these soldiers had these nails, like shoes with nails, iron nails, to help them grip their stand and take their position. You have to be prepared. When you believe the gospel saved you, you prepare to take that gospel of peace to the world. That's the mission of every soldier in God's army. How do we defeat Satan? By taking the good news of the gospel to the world. It's a message of glad tidings. How beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel. Isaiah said in Isaiah 52 and verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saying unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Isaiah 52 and the verses 7. And he said, above all. So we look at, he says, to gird up. Here's what you do. Bring truth. Put it around you. Stay with truth. Don't let nobody take it off. And live right. And prepare to carry the good news to the lost and dying world. And above all of that, Paul said it, above everything I just mentioned, you got to have the shield of faith. The Roman soldiers took this long shield, 4.5 feet long, covered the body from top to the bottom. They could move it up and down sideways. It was a protection for himself. So faith is our protection. You have to have faith in order to win the war. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith that we're talking about is the faith according to the New Testament doctrine. We must fully trust in God and never doubt that God's doctrine is true. Jesus, in 2 John 9, Bible says, whosoever transgresses and by not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. If we know doctrine, then we know we have our shield of faith. And what I was saying this morning, we need to learn to be prepared to study and let the Word of God work on our lives. Because when you let the Word of God work in your life, it will quench, it will stop, put out all doubts. It'll stop evil works. It kills it, because that's what God gives us that for. Now, here's the thing about the shield of faith. Remember this now. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 6:17. So you got to be studious. You got to become to worship, Bible class, and even serve like you're not, to get everything you need. You got to study to show yourself approved, 2 Timothy 2:15. You got to be prepared. This is the only way you're going to equip up. Many Christians will lose their souls because they have not properly armored themselves up with the truth, with the righteousness, understanding the mission, and never forgetting when you, everywhere you go, that it was the gospel of Jesus Christ that saved your soul. Above all, you got to believe everything God said do and do it. Then he says, you can stand, you take that shield, because there are fiery darts that are coming at you. The fiery darts are going to be shot our way. And back that time, the soldiers knew that those darts were deadly. They were poisonous. And they were very dangerous unless they were stopped by the shield. So the devil is going to fire at us with darts of wickedness, opportunities to sin, lust of the flesh, pride of life, lust of the eye. Go to Romans chapter 1. All the things there, talking about a whispering, backbite, tailbearer, all these sinful things are darts. The devil do not want us to live for God. He wants us all to remain in sin. Remember, brother and sister, they're fighting not against Brother Brooks. It's not against someone else. The devil do not want you to go to heaven. You can't go. He know there's no way possible for you to go to heaven if you are living, if he can keep you living unrighteous, if he can keep you in fornication, if he can keep you being covetous, he got you involved in malicious activity, if he can keep you full of envy and jealousy and malignity and whispering, backbiting, haters of God, too proud to say you're wrong. Don't make a confession. Never admit. You couldn't admit this morning that you ain't faithful. The devil got you. If you can't admit, I'm not a faithful child of God. I need to repent because I thought faith was just going to the building. No, you got to live right. Then you got the backbiters, the haters of God. Those people were boasters of evil things, venomous, and didn't even get down to children who were disobedient to parents. Those are all fiery darts, covenant breakers, people who are unmerciful, people who look down on other people, people who get involved in schemes of the devil, trickery. Amen. These are all nothing but darts, the fiery darts of the devil. If you don't have your shield on, if you're not properly armored, you're going to get hit by these darts. And then he says, and I just read to Romans chapter 1. Go there, it's all in that chapter. We'll read the whole chapter. You'll enjoy reading it. All those sins are listed there. All the darts are there. So the Christians, we are to be prepared. He says in verse 17, and take the helmet in your head, your skull, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. They go together, which is the word of God. The Roman soldier wore a head like a metallic cap to protect him. Somebody would kill him, like you see the armored soldiers in armor. They wore metal hats. They put that helmet on. And where's the application I want to make there? That no one can tell Brother Brooks in my head what I need for me. No one can do that for me. The helmet salvation means you got to be able to see your condition when the word of God spells it out, the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. Salvation, you have to be conscious of your situation when it comes to your soul. You have to. It has to be for your salvation. Remember, Peter says, save yourself. You got to want to save yourself to do what the word of God says do. That's the sword of the Spirit. You got to take the word of God, and you got to let it receive it with me, James 1:21. Wow. It's able to save your soul. If we do what the teaching of the New Testament teaches us, what the Bible teaches us to do, and we take that in, on each side of our head is an ear. We all, Jesus said, every man have an ear to hear, hear. Here's how you protect yourself. You got to want to be saved yourself. Now, if you on the call and it's not about your salvation, then the word of God is not going to work, help you, because you got to be wanting to be saved. That's why if I'm wrong, a person is doing something they know is wrong, they have to admit it. But if your conscience is not bothering you, you're not going to admit it. You're not going to say you sin. You're not going to make a confession. You're not going to repent. But the word of God is designed to bring out those sinful things that is against the will of God and point at you and let you know the devil will win unless you make these changes based on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right. The word of God, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the body, the soul, of the soul, spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner. Here's where it works at. Of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So somebody said, well, you don't know my heart. God knows my heart. He sure do know your heart. He know when you just as wrong as you know. Because he know your heart. That's some people use that as an escape. You don't know my heart. God know my heart. Yeah, he does know your heart. He do know. You're right. He know everything about your heart. And that's the key. What we're talking about, this need to be strong in the heart. You got to know that God know. Matter of fact, we are naked in our sight, God. There's no secrets that he don't know about. He knows everything. Here's the thing. If we try to be strong in the Lord, we take the word of God and we use it as the helmet of salvation, making sure I'm doing what I got to do in my head to keep me safe. Then verse 18-20, he said, praying always with prayer, supplication in spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints and for me. The utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, And therein I may speak boldly, as I always speak. So Paul closes it out with this. The last thing this soldier needs, this Christian, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, is prayer. And we learned that this morning about that. He had a continuous prayer life. Prayer is a powerful tool that's in all of them. Everything God has given in the power of his might is prayer. Prayer, always. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. Praying, constant prayer. Praying, fervent prayers. This is part of what it is. And we arm it up. We put on the whole armor of God. And part of that armor is prayer and supplication. That's what Daniel was doing. He made prayers and supplication 3 times a day. And then we're paying attention. Being sober, being vigilant, watching thereto with all perseverance. And what Paul said, with patience. You got to work through your situation. So as a spiritual man, as a spiritual sister, a spiritual young person, you've got to be equipped. This is for all saints, Paul said. We don't pray for ourselves. We got to pray for everybody involved in this warfare. We got to pray for our fellow soldiers. We got to pray that we all stay on the battlefield, that we win this war. We're hard fighting soldiers. We sing that song. Yeah, we're on the battlefield because we're spiritual children. We're children of God. We're trying to make it to heaven. And then Paul would say, but as for me, he said that for me, he especially wanted them praying for him. And I ask you, pray for me. That we have to stand. We have to stand with truth. You got to stand with knowing that the brothers and sisters on the army take the leaders out front and they're praying that they can stay safe and endure the fiery trial. However, if they get past the front line, you two are in danger as well. Remember, everybody has to have on their spiritual attire in warfare, garments of warfare. And so then, so Paul describes it then. He wanted to continue to speak, preach about this mystery of gospel, that's Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the one church. He said he's an ambassador in bonds. He was in prison, ambassador sent from, to a foreign court to make appeal. Paul was that for Christ. We're ambassadors. We're in a strange land out here. We're fighting against the lies of the devil. We're trying to save people, and we are out there ambassadors as well. But ye, verse 21 is our clothing, but that ye may be also, Paul said, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So he had this man working with him. He named him in Acts 20, verse 4. He named him again in Colossians 4, verse 7. He named him again in Titus 3:12. And then 2 Timothy 4:12. So he talks about this guy. And this guy probably carried this letter to the brethren there at Ephesus. And so he was a faithful companion. And this is understanding this. We need people in our corner. We need people who are trying to live the life we're trying to live around us. Who you got around you? What kind of people are in your life? It's good to have faithful brothers, faithful ministers, people who love the Lord, people who love God in your life, making sure that you two are working together for the same cause. And the cause of Christ is the end result of that is the hope of heaven as our reward. Paul said he sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affair, that he might comfort your heart. So he had a twofold purpose to go there, to let them know how Paul was doing, and also provide some comfort. So Paul writes this letter, and he closes by saying this, and I'll close by saying this. Peace be to the brethren. Peace is what we all should want in the church. Peace, not fighting for us. Peace. So we serve God with peace. And then second to that is love with faith. See, love with faith means I love you according to faith. It's unconditional love. We love our brother. We love the Lord. We love him because he first loved us. From, he said, love with faith from, here come, God the Father and Jesus. There he comes. Who extended their love toward us while we were yet sinners? God. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died. There are they two together. So God sent him and Jesus died. And that was love with faith. Grace be with you all. Give them that love, our Lord Jesus, in sincerity. Amen. So there's a faith love, obviously. But he said grace to them that love our Lord. Who are the people that love our Lord? Well, if you listen to this morning, it's going to be people who are faithful to their relationship with Jesus as their Lord, as their master, and as the husband of the bride, which is the church. So if you're on the call this evening, and you're fighting against the devil, you're fighting a lot of things going on in your life, a lot of things not going right in your life. Maybe you're not ready. Maybe you have not girded up your loins. Maybe you have not put on the whole armor of God. You can't say you're strong in the Lord because you're not utilizing the power of his might. You have to put on his armor. You got to put on the armor to stand, to withstand. You got to add to your faith. You got to continue to study. You got to deal with all these things that he talked about. Truth. You got to have the birthplace of righteousness. You got to have your shoes on. You got to have your shield of faith. You got to take the helmet of salvation. And you got to use the word of God as your sword. I hope you've enjoyed the lesson today and the prayers of last week. I don't think I just recapped all the things you need to be strong in the Lord. If you want to call this evening, and perhaps you're going through some difficult times in your life, I would encourage you to consider that Jesus went through more than you ever go through. Consider that God loved him. He came and walked among men. And Jesus had done no wrong. He knew no wrong. He did good. He helped the sick people. He healed the blind. He fed people who were hungry. He taught his disciples. But in the last 24 hours of his life, he became the one, the lamb to the slaughter. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Just before shears dumb, he would open down his mouth. That's what Isaiah said. Who gonna believe the report that Jesus would let them do? Even Pilate said, I don't find a fault with him. However, he beat him with him would be scourged. And the people say, crucify him. Jesus went through more than you're ever going through. He went through more than you're ever going through. He sure did. They spit on him, mocked him, put a crown of thorns on his head. They put the tree of the cross on his back, and then he went to Calvary. God, but sometimes they call it the place of the skull. But no matter what you call it, it was Jesus who would be nailed to the cross of Calvary. And he got nailed. He stayed there 6 long hours. He shed his blood. Because that was love with faith by God the Father and Jesus himself. God gave him, and Jesus gave his life willingly. He did it because it was the will of his Father. And he was called to see, and you are not in the Lord. What do you do, brother? What do I do to get in the Lord? I want to be in the Lord. I need to be strong. The devil is winning in my house, winning in my marriage. He's winning in my home. He's winning in my children. He's winning in my daily life. He got me all caught up on this, all the things that I'm doing. I need to get out. I want freedom. I want peace. Well, then you got to obey. You got to hear that Jesus hung there to die, was buried, and rose again. Number one. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. Number two, you got to believe. Number three, you got to repent. Make that decision in your mind. Put your helmet of salvation on and say, I got to repent. Repent means I don't want to go back to live the way I've been living. I'm ready to make a change in my life. And then you have to confess. Be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God before men. And then after you confess him before men and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, then we will baptize you because that's what's commanded by our Lord. Matthew 28:18-19. Mark 16:15-16, he tells us to preach the gospel to you. If you believe it, he says, baptize it. What's baptism for? Acts 2:38, for the remission of sin. Acts 22:16, to wash away your sin. That's right. You come up a new creature, born again and regenerated, heir of God, and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. And of course, you may be already be a Christian, member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, but you're fighting this devil. And we all fighting this devil. My words is, He's real. And he's coming at it. Won't you gird up your Lord? Won't you put on everything you need so you can be strong in the Lord? If you have sin in your life, go ahead and repent of it. Ask God to forgive you. Make your confession. If you need to make your confession, to hit 5-star on your phone. If you need prayer, We can pray with you for your situation, what you're going through, whether it's maybe it's not seeing, maybe it's just health issues you're dealing with, a bereavement, you lost somebody you love, you have a hard time dealing with. Let us pray with you. Make it known what we can do to help you from a spiritual standpoint by hitting 5-star on your phone. As together we sing the song encouragement.